It's Friday, February 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. And you know, I almost forgot. It's a leap year. Yes, February 29th only comes once every 4 years. So right, let's do a special show. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. How you doing? Hey, it's, thank goodness it's Friday. Of course, for me, almost every day is Friday. So, you know, I can't complain. How are you? How you doing? Welcome to the show. For those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast via the podcast link. Make sure you subscribe to the show via either Zune Marketplace, on iPod, or if you're just listening online, make sure you come back and listen again. We definitely want you part of the Ohana. And of course, for all of you that are part of the Ohana out here, hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. And of course, thanks for staying subscribed. And thanks for telling everyone about the show. You are what make me do what I do. Wow, got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, folks. And by the way, I on purpose sent you all like 4 copies of the newsletter last time. Oh my gosh, what is the deal? You know, I thought everything's been running smooth. Everyone's been getting 1 copy of the newsletter. So here I go. I wake up in the morning and there must have been like 20 emails. Todd, I got 4 copies. Todd, I got 3. Todd, I got 4. Todd, I got 2. Todd, I got 4. Todd, I got 3. Sorry. That's all I can say. I have no idea. I really don't. I am lost for words on what is going on with this application. I am befuddled. I have no idea. I am frustrated. And my newsletter software worked good for months and months and months and months and months and months and months. And then it's just got this wild hair that it wants to do its own thing. I don't know. I'm knocking on, I don't know what if this is, pressed wood or whatever it is. Pressing over here, I'll knock on some pine. Okay, I'll knock on that. Let us hope tonight that it doesn't do what it did last night or last show. And I apologize. It's not cool to have that happen. But anyway, we're going to continue to move on. And yes, if you're brave enough to sign up for our newsletter, please do show via the third column of the website. You'll get the show notes delivered to you at least once, maybe twice, maybe 3 times, maybe 4 times immediately following the show. And believe me, it's not on purpose, but you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. That's for sure. Okay, well, what is going on here? Well, my lovely wife has been sick as a dog with the flu, running a high temperature for the last 36 hours. I think she's on the down slope of it, getting plenty of fluids, getting lots of rest, doing all the things you do to take care of a fever. And boy, I feel bad for her. I really do. And but it's late here because, of course, I had to make sure that everything was taken care of the house. The kids' stuff was done. And we can start at about 9:30. And she's in the other room on the couch. And boy, I hope she's feeling better by the morning. If not, I'm going to run her into the doctor to see what's going on. I'm sure they will tell me. Just take some Tylenol. And drink plenty of fluids and go home and get plenty of rest. I'm sure that's what it is. But she doesn't have any secondary stuff like a sore throat. She has a little bit of a sore throat, but nothing too bad. But definitely it's got me concerned. And I'm probably going to get it next, whatever it is. If it's a flu, it's probably going to go through this whole house. So I'm surviving so far and taking plenty of vitamin C and a variety of other multivitamins. But that's what's going on here in the house. But I had to tonight. I was just so pleased. I got done with getting everything. I got the dinner table cleared up, and the kids got their bath, and my daughter, my wife actually went in and took a shower, and so she just barely had to, you know, really didn't feel like drying her hair. So my daughter blow dried her hair, and I thought that was really cool that she would do that and didn't have to be asked. And so I get everybody settled down, and then, you know, the lights dim down the house, and all of a sudden I hear my son starting to play the ukulele. So he's singing to her with the ukulele. I'm so impressed. He felt so bad for his mom. You have to almost twist his arm sometime to, you know, play. He goes in his room and play, but to come out and play for us never happens. So he came out and played for his mom, and I was really, really impressed. Now, I don't know if I've spoken about this or not, but he was picked up for the Honolulu Boys Choir, and it's truly a boys choir. And I was went with him, took him to practice yesterday. We had very, very, very strict rules on what time you have to be there, you pick up, the whole nine yards, what parents can do, but they can't. I mean, it's like this 20-page manual, and it's all rules. No, nothing about benefits, just rules. And I sat in on the practice, and it was good. And so he has got that to look forward to work through over the next, until his voice changes. When his voice changes, then he can no longer be in the Honolulu Boys Choir. They definitely have a cutoff period. The conductor or whatever they call him there, he makes a decision when the voice has changed enough not to, aka, fit into the boys choir anymore. But pretty prestigious, and I'm looking forward to him being able to travel around Hawaii and also to different places. So they go to some countries and sing. So quite an honor. He was one of, I think, three or four boys that were picked up in the latest audition round. I think they had nearly, I think my wife said they nearly had 200 that were in. So he does have quite the voice, and they were impressed, and I'm pretty impressed. And I had to share that all with you anyway. But anyway, he was singing for his mom, and I thought it was pretty cool playing the ukulele. So, and you know, nothing makes you more proud than your kid being able to, you know, play an instrument by ear, and he can read sheet music as well, but pretty cool stuff. Okay, got a lot of stuff for you, and before we get into that, of course, let's take care of a little business. And if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, you name it. Secure socket layer, SSL certificates. All of those are available over at GoDaddy at a great price, and you can even save even more money when you get to that checkout counter by using some of my promo codes. Like promo code TODD will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on shared hosting accounts only, so long as you do a one-year subscription to that. So combine that with some of their multi-year deals, and you can really save a big, big, big bunch of money. Again, TODD, Geek5, Todd, ComSale, Aloha, those are all codes. I even think Geek is in there somewhere. I'm not sure. Better not use that one. I have to look that one up. But thanks to GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Now, I've got some cool things. Actually, I have to apologize. A couple of you emailed me and said, Todd, where's the latest roundtable? And it's not up yet. I've just, with my wife being sick, I have not had time to add the links in. But if she gets better tomorrow, I'll get those pushed up. And hopefully I'm not sick. But of course, our roundtable sponsored by GoToMeeting. And if you've tried web conferencing, you probably realize how expensive it can be and difficult to use. Well, I have great news. There's an easy, more affordable way. GoToMeeting setup takes 2 minutes. Meeting attendees don't need the software installed. Start the meeting with a single click and hold as many as you want for one low flat rate. The best part is you can try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial. And thanks GoToMeeting, of course, as well, for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central, of course, of our roundtable over at techpodcast.com. Okay, lots of stuff. I've been pushing more videos up to Geek News Central. So if you're not watching the site, you're going to be missing out. There's a lot of new videos being pushed, and I'm putting up a 4 a day. I'll have 4 more up midday tomorrow. So I'm going to start getting them all knocked out, and they'll be all online here in a couple of days. I got a nice ice cold glass of Perrier in front of me. And, you know, while I was on the road, I knew I was missing something. And I was definitely, I don't know what it is. Why do we get into these types of, you just get, you know, thirsty for something. And I really have had for like the last 6 months, this thing about drinking Perrier. And I used to really never, and I always thought, you know, snobby people drink the stuff. And I probably ruin it by putting ice in it, but I'm a hick. I'm sorry. All right. Well, let's get into some regular content here. Now, if you all remember, I had put a challenge out a week or so ago, maybe 10 days ago, asking everyone to submit their submissions on what they thought Microsoft was going to announce on the 26th. Well, the 26th came and went, and nothing was up online. And I started looking around, trying to figure out what they announced. And finally, by midday on the 27th, I saw a posting over on Robert Scoble's site that talked about the thing that he thought, or the thing that made him cry. And we still haven't seen a complete demo of this. But Microsoft Research has released the Worldwide Telescope. Now, I don't think on any of the emails that I got, anybody guessed this. So the $50 tab is essentially out there. But what I'm going to do is, and I don't have these emails up in front of me right now, but what I'll do tonight after the show, or maybe even tomorrow when I get caught up, is I'll go through and find out how many people submitted suggestions. And I'll go in and actually on the next show, we're going to give that $50 to one of the people that have submitted ideas on what the Worldwide Telescope was. So we're going to award it regardless on the next show. I'll make sure no one was really, it was close. But this Worldwide Telescope, from what I've seen in the two videos they have on the demo site, and it's at www.telescope.com. That's not www. It's www.telescope.com. Some very big endorsements. And from the people that have seen it, people are saying, wow, wow, wow. Yet they're giving us a taste, but this thing is not going to be ready for a while. They say maybe April before we get to actually play with it. But what it's doing is it's combining a variety of telescopes and all of the data that they have collected. I'm hoping all of the data and Hubble and everything else. And they're integrating it into a package where you can scroll around. Now, there's some packages out there that are like this, but everyone that's talking about this says this is unbelievable. You basically can, for example, you can scroll to a part of the sky. Let's say you're looking at the moon. Okay. So it's really not that far away. And you can kind of dial in closer and closer and closer, kind of like you would on a Google map. But it's going to be the sky and lots of really cool stuff, lots of different layers, different frequency formats that's being looked at. I'm really excited. I cannot wait. I really cannot wait to cut my, first of all, for me to play with it, but then cut my kids loose. Oh, man, can you just think, this is, you know, Robert said that this would not make Microsoft a lot of money. It's not a money-making thing, but it was just the right thing to do. And I agree. If it's as powerful as everyone is saying it is, and if you look at the videos on the website, whoa. That's all I'm going to say. Whoa. Because It's going to allow our kids really to get involved and in-depth in science unlike anything ever else. You know, we have never had a time where, you know, even with Google Maps, what I do with Google Maps, my kids start talking about something. Well, Dad, where did you grow up, or where did this happen? I type in the address in Google Maps, and I go down into the satellite view, and I say, right here. And give them an overhead picture of, you know, where something happened, or where we went, or when we went to the Grand Canyon, or, you know, just all kinds of cool stuff. And we've never had a time up to this point where we've been able to do all this kind of cool interactive stuff with our kids. So, you know, if you're not using some of these tools available today and using them with your kids, you're really missing out. Because once you show them, they have this aha moment, and they're in there. They really, really are. Like, I didn't know where to take my son for this practice because I was on travel when he auditioned. And I said, okay, where's it at? And he said, well, I think it's on Pensacola Street. And we came in the office, and we brought up Pensacola Street on the map, and we were scrolling up and down Pensacola Street with Google Maps in satellite mode. He goes, oh, right there, Dad, there's the building. And it really saved me the frustration of being, because my wife really was out of it. She really didn't, she's somewhere. And so it really saved me time because I knew which way to come in. And it got him involved in the discussion. And it was really, really cool. So use this stuff, folks. Really, really use it. It's really powerful stuff. So let me go ahead and load Feed Team in here. And let's get into some of the other things I found tonight. We got some juicy stuff here tonight. Almost some soapbox stuff. So better strap in. It's going to be a fun ride throughout the show tonight. I got lots of content. Guaranteed we're going to go long. Or go normal. Going to go normal. All right, over on io9.com. Never been on this site before, but there is some very cool science taking place where researchers have been able to essentially do a reset on the brains of mice that have been affected with Alzheimer's. Now, you know, there's been a lot of research going into a cure for Alzheimer's. Lots of money spent, and they've been finding all kinds of, you know, new types of treatments, you know, things that we can do to help prevent getting Alzheimer's. Just this whole list of things that they've determined. And what they've really found out here is they're saying with a little help, our brains can be trained to heal themselves. And after a traumatic brain injury, some of your brain cells go into reset mode and reverting to a stem cell-like state. So what they've been able to do in rats or mice is they've been able to get some of these cells that are in this stem cell-like state, and they are able to inject them in a place where they've been able to coax a brain to repair itself. Now, if you've had any family member that has suffered from Alzheimer's, it's a cruel, cruel disease. And it makes it very painful for the family members. And I'm really hopeful. You know, this is amongst many, many other things that they're advancing in science, obviously. But it's cool to see what they're coming up with. And who knows, you know, this is probably, you know, another item, another little thing that they're trying to, you know, try to look at. But what I think is interesting here is they're getting to the point where they're using cells and they're using our bodies to repair our bodies. And that just seems like such a natural thing. It really, really does. And it seems to me like low risk too. So we'll see how long it is before they get some sort of a treatment system out there, and if they'll even be allowed to do this. Now, it's being done in Germany now, so you know things overseas move much, much quicker. So we'll see what the Germans do with this and if they're able to perfect this over time. Now, I'm sure many of you have more than one iPod laying around, and if you do, how to get more from your iPod. 10 interesting hacks, mods, and tips, and I think you'll have fun with some of this. You know, take one of those iPods that you've got laying around and play around with some of these hacks and tips and have fun with it. These are 10 different items, and I got this off of QAMUT.com. I have the link up in the show notes, of course. So make sure you check in there to get that. on the astronomy picture of the day, the picture came up. I'm like, okay, that's not real interesting. And then I noticed over in the right-hand corner, a play button. You have to watch the video. Link will be in the show notes. That's all I'm going to share. You've got to watch the video. All right, sandbox time. Yep, I'm not going to get up on it completely here, but over on Torrent Freak, and this is a story that was really dug up, and it was also on Tech Meme today and being talked about quite a bit, but the RIAA is keeping settlement money, and artists are trying to determine if they're going to sue. It's being reported that the RIAA has collected as much as 400, you hear this, $400 million in fines and settlements from companies like Napster, Kazaa, Bolt, different people that have been doing peer-to-peer sharing, but they have not yet to date redistributed any of that money that they have collected of those supposed $400 million. They have never gave a penny, according to this article, back to any of the artists. And the artists are like, come on. You know, where's mine? You know, you're out there collecting this money. Give it up. Give me my share. And you know what? I agree. Give them their share. But they're saying, oh, it's so complicated. We don't know which artists were, you know, have been affected the most, which music has been downloaded the most, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's simple. You go and you look at the lifetime record sales of, you know, of music that they have. You're just going to have to break it up into segments and give everybody a little. You know, give everybody a little. You know, if a group had 25 number one albums and another group had two and another group had, you know, you're just going to have to come up with some formula and get the money out there. And, of course, it has to be filtered to the labels first. And then the labels, then they're going to have to decide how much they're going to give. So, you know what is going to have happening, don't you? 400 million gets distributed. Let's just say, of the 400 million, the RIAA keeps 200 million, saying that's my expenses. They give 200 million to, you know, the EMIs and the Sonys of the world. And the EMIs and the Sonys of the world look, well, we've got a contract where we keep, 97 cents on the dollar. So we'll keep 97 cents of every dollar that we got on this and we'll give you 3 cents back, the artist. So the artists will all get a check for about $2. That's what's going to happen. You know it. You know that's what's going to happen is where those folks, you know, the artists are going to end up with, yeah, I got a, you know, all those $400 million, I got $2. And the Stones might get $10. Maybe Metallica, maybe they'll get $3. Oh, gosh. But, you know, this is how crooked, in my opinion, these folks at the RIAA are, you know? Give the money back to the artists, like now. Do it. And if they don't, I hope they sue them. I hope the artists sue the RIAA. Okay, 9 signs you shouldn't hire that web guy. Number one, he calls himself a webmaster. Number two, I'll add to this. If the person says that they're a front page expert, run for the hills. He says he's going to submit your website to search engines. That was like 10 years ago. We don't do that no more. If he says he doesn't know what a div is, and I'm just adding here my own pieces, if he doesn't know what CSS is, cascaded style sheets, run. I'll let you read through this. This is pretty funny. Okay, this story, I swear, if it had not been on Yahoo News, I would have said, okay, someone's trying to pull my leg here. Now, I'm an Irishman. I definitely have a lot of Irish in me from my family genes. And, but I'm reading this story and it says, an Irishman blinded by an explosion 2 years ago has had his sight restored after doctors, get this, inserted his son's tooth in his eye. Yes. Can you, oh, you're thinking, no way. Todd, you're kidding me. Well, this guy, I'm still like half doubting this. They have performed what's called, it's called a miracle operation called the osteoodontokeratoprothesis, OOKP. And I guess it was a technique preferred in Italy in the 1960s. It's really weird. They do tie the nerves of the, I don't know. It's really weird. Is this real? Please, someone tell me that this is not real. This can't be. What they've done is basically they've filtered the optical nerve through the, through a hole that they drill in the tooth. This sounds so weird. Put a lens over it, and they don't get like full vision. I guess they get like an area. Okay. It's on Yahoo News. You know, I was expecting to find this somewhere else, but all right, those of you that are developers or you are running a lot of non-Apple applications on OS X, in other words, it doesn't come natively from Apple, like Firefox and different applications, there's a great write-up over on blog.vlad1.com talking about some things that some developers have found in the API that, while suspicious, has really allowed them to gain some significant performance gains out of like Firefox in OS X, and the new version is going to be just smoking. And it really, what happened was, is because there were some things in the API that wasn't documented that Apple provides, this group dug deep and found some of these calls. They've been able to, what they're saying is make Firefox faster than Safari in the latest build. So he says in this article, he says, despite my frustration, this type of hiding, and they're talking about this information he found, isn't really possible in a real open source environment. In the end, I really do hope that Linux can rise to the technical challenges and compete in desktop performance and features, but it's not yet there. However, I'm glad there was a workaround for this issue for us on OS X, because the performance benefits are huge. Firefox 3 on the Mac is going to be a, I can't say this on the show, beep, beep, release. Slashdot had spun this a different way. It's what drugged me over here. But I'll let you read through the article, and if you're interested in benchmarks and that kind of stuff, you'll definitely want to check out this article. Again, it's at blog.vlad1.com. If you are, you know, you're a gadget freak and you really like to see how the inside of things work, including like credit card scanners and that type of stuff, there's a cool article on some PIN entry device vulnerabilities. And this is when you scan a card and then you have to put in a PIN, and talking about how through just using a paperclip, some people have been able to hack some of these things. And it is kind of scary what they've come up with. So I definitely want you, and they've already told Visa, MasterCard, and so forth about this, without a lot of response, but, just goes to show you the power of the internet with the University of Cambridge, in UK actually, you know, basically putting out the information on this hack, in order to kind of force the hand of, the people with these card scanners and so forth. A year or so ago, my son was with me, and we were somewhere, and someone actually had a new Polaroid camera, and I actually took a picture, and the Polaroid came out, and my son thought that was the most coolest thing in the whole world, and we were talking about it in the car. I said, wow, Dad, that's cool. You want to get one of those? And I'm kind of snickering to myself, thinking, no, I'm not getting a Polaroid. That I've already moved on to the digital space, but some people really are endeared to Polaroid, and if you are, you'll definitely want to pick up the digital Polaroid photo frame concept. And this basically lets you have a Polaroid on your desk, but it's built into a digital photo frame. Kind of cool what they've done here with this. And this is a link that I've got via the Gadget Lab on Wired.com. So I have this link, of course, in the show notes as well. Paramount and DreamWorks has announced that essentially, March 4th is going to be the last day for HD DVD support. So It's really looking grim here with, really, at this point, looks like no more new movies on HD DVD. So March 4th is the last day that both Paramount and DreamWorks are going to release anything or have anything to do with HD DVD. All right, next up is big news out of Sprint today. And Sprint really needs to do some turnaround because their Sprint-Nextel merger really ended up in a disaster where they had to, I guess today, announce a $29.5 billion write-off or loss for this quarter. They've also been losing customers left and right. But what Sprint announced today was they've debuted a calling plan called Simply Everything. It's a plan for $99 a month, and it's going to give you everything. It's going to give you text, voice, Sprint TV, Sprint GPS, and a whole bunch of other services. And this is going to be a flat rate, $99. You get the whole bit. So no tiered pricing or anything like that, like Verizon and AT&T did. If you are a Sprint customer and if you've got a single phone and you've been paying piecemeal for some of these services, you can have unlimited calling, unlimited texting, unlimited Sprint TV, unlimited data on the phone itself, not connected to a computer, GPS, and much, much more. Now, I've only got a Sprint EVDO card. I used many, many years ago, I had Sprint as an actual carrier. But their pricing was, I made the switch to T-Mobile, it was just, a matter of having better pricing. But I think this is a game changer. I think this is going to make AT&T and Verizon step up to the plate. Price wars are good for all of us. We've been paying through the nose for mobile service for a long, long time. We've been paying more than what it's really worth because it's a cash cow for them. It really is. You think about the amount of money that I know my cell bill between having my wife's phone on and my daughter's phone on and 2,000 minutes, I'm paying $1.25 or $1.35, something like that for my service. So while I don't have I can't really go to one of these everything plans because I have more than one phone on, I have a family plan. Those of you that have individual phones, this might be the way to go. And Sprint has really good coverage. It really does. I'm really impressed. Everywhere that I've been recently, I've had good Sprint EVDO service. Definitely check the service area. Of course, look at the maps surrounding the areas you normally travel in to make sure that you're covered. But, I think Sprint has a chance here to get out of the hole that they're in and then gain some customers back. Those of you that are Apple users, the time capsule is shipping this week. Apple has promised to get this out, and they have apparently been able to fulfill their promise of getting it out by the end of February. So if you had a time capsule on back order, it may be coming. And if you've been thinking about getting one, now is the time. All right. NSA gets the best AT&T coverage around, and this is hilarious. It really is. I found this over on Gizmodo. It was and it's actually got a video supporting it. Here's the billboard. The billboard states, and remember, this is about the wiretapping and how this big deal in Congress is going on right now, where the major carriers do not have immunity at this time because they've failed to renew this. This particular piece of legislation or this, whatever it was in place. But anyway, some pranksters, actually not pranksters, some folks from what they call the Billboard Liberation Front has launched an improvement campaign on AT&T's billboards in the San Francisco area. They're promoting and celebrating innovation and collaboration. So what it says on the billboard now, and they've changed it, it says eight. Now this is what TBL, TBLF, the Billboard Liberation Front put on the billboard. It says AT&T works in more places like NSA headquarters. So they had actually overwritten what was on the original billboard with NSA headquarters. I think the billboard said before, let me see if I can see what they took the video down. YouTube took the video down. Isn't that something? Very interesting. Okay, anyway, the link will be up in Gizmodo. It'll show the new picture of the billboard. But the video actually showed these guys going up and actually making the change to the billboard right in a public area. But taking AT&T to task here for you know, things people are considering not good. Okay, NASA has a 3D moon map to help next lunar landings. And these are both YouTube videos. I have these linked up in the show notes. Very cool stuff that NASA has done with this 3D moon map to help, well, what are we, 20 years away from having men land on the moon again, or whatever the president's timeline was. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's going to be a while. So, but it is pretty cool what NASA has come up with for mapping the moon. All right, this next article up, just as I wrote about it on my blog already, but it really just, it really burns me up. It really does. During the FCC hearing, where they had the public hearing, bringing in Comcast, bringing in some other groups that were basically going to speak against Comcast over their peer-to-peer throttling, and this fiasco that has been going on for a while. Well, at the hearing, people were showing up an hour early, finding that almost all the seats for the hearing were already filled. And what it turns out is Comcast paid a bunch of people, a bunch of ringers, a bunch of people off the street to come in and fill the seats at the hearing. So the picture that's been making the rounds on the internet is two guys. You can really tell that they're interested in the hearing because they're asleep, and you can tell that they were hired by Comcast because Comcast made them put all little, I guess these pink ribbons or something on their collars. But Comcast essentially filled this hearing room up with paid ringers. And this really, I guess, has made the FCC a little bit upset. And the FCC is now considering repeating the net neutrality hearing after the Comcast, essentially what the fiasco Comcast pulled. You know, don't they get it? You know, this is why this company needs to be avoided like the plague. Here they have taken and essentially bought their way into forcing free speech not to be heard. I guess that's the best way to say that. Now, there was people that were invited to talk to the committee, and many other people were there just as a show of support, and I don't know if people in the audience were going to actually get to ask questions or not. Probably not. But for them to pull this stunt, while at the same time, if you've read anything about the hearing, that's enough to make you mad. And it's all this, you know, tap dancing around the issue without actually saying, yeah, we're blocking the outbound peer-to-peer. We're stopping it. You know, that's what they're doing, but they're not willing. Oh, we're shaping it and delaying it, and the packet will still get there. Well, yeah, it'll get there in 2 years, and by then the tracker will have forgotten who you are. So I'm hoping the FCC takes a very strong stance against Comcast, and I hope they levy a huge, huge fine against them. Because network neutrality is important for all of us. Now, while I may not agree with what some people do on peer-to-peer, I also think it's the right of individuals to do what they please in their homes on their own. They should not be regulated by Comcast. They should not be policed by Comcast. And while Comcast is saying that all these other companies are doing it, the other major carriers are doing it, none of the other carriers have gotten caught doing what they're doing. So this is the main thing, and I just hope the FCC really smacks them up. But can you believe the audacity? The audacity to hire people to come in and sit in seats? Now, this happens in Washington, D.C., but this hearing was held at a university outside of D.C., not a place where this would normally happen. So they know what's at stake. They really, really know. They would not have done this. They understand that the stakes are high, and if they get shot down on this, that, you know, it's going to make a major impact, and we, the people, will have won a round. All right, Matt, moving on here. I'm sorry. Moving on here. The new MacBook Pro, which was announced earlier this week, first benchmarks are a bit of a disappointment. The Intel Core 2 Duo T9300 at 2.5 gigahertz clocked in at 3228 as a benchmark. The MacBook Pro, which was released mid-2007 with the Intel Core Duo T7800 at 2.6 gigahertz, clocked in at 3245. The 2.4 gig MacBook Pro, which is being released right now with the T8300 chip in it, clocked in at 3047, with the MacBook Pro, which was released in mid-2007 with a 2.4 gig chip in, clocked at 3107. What is up with that? It means that the 2007 models are running fast, a slightly better benchmark than the new MacBook Pros. This is, you know, what you're going to get with the new MacBook Pro. You're going to get this Penryn-based chip. It's going to give you more battery mileage, which, you know, the MacBooks have great battery mileage, battery mileage already, as long as reduced heat. Now, they're saying that it's going to be lower priced as well. So I guess if they've lowered the heat, give you longer battery life, then does the benchmark mean that much? I don't know. I guess it's up to you guys. But this is what we're looking at. The benchmarks aren't that much better. So, you know, 1% or 2% difference, no one should really care about that, I guess. But you think when someone releases a new product, it's actually going to be faster than the old one. But that's not the case. Okay, Google made a big announcement today, too. They announced Google Sites. And this is essentially the re-release of, I believe, Jot. It's a website that they bought last year. And there's some reports coming out from Google Sites. And I've already had some people say, wow, I'm going to go over there and build a website and have my website hosted by Google. And the reviews initially on the actual configuration of the site and getting it set up and actually having it be something meaningful is not that impressive. The reviews have been generally negative on Google Sites. But what makes it even exceptionally more negative is that Kevin Burton, he's well-known in the space, and he's got a website over at feedblog.org. He said he had created a Google Sites page, and when he created a sample site linked to his blog, and he dropped an HTML in it, what he found was that they had superimposed within the HTML the nofollow tag. Now, really what this means is if you go over there and you build a site on Google Sites and you start linking to stuff, you use that as, let's say you're going to use that as your primary point of presence for blogging or whatever you're going to be doing, and you put in a link to an article that you think is cool, or you link to a website or a picture, whatever it may be, anytime you put an HTML link in, what this software on Google Sites is going to do is put this nofollow in. Now, on my website at Geek News Central, the only thing that I have no follow on is, and you even see it in the, if you look at the source code of the show notes, any of the advertisements that are on the website, in other words, any banners, any text links that go to advertising, all have in the HTML have, it's called REL equals semicolon, no follow semicolon. And what that does, it tells the search engines, hey, don't follow that to its source destination and don't give them any outbound link love. It's basically a way of telling Google, hey, those are paid links. Don't go anywhere with them because, you know, they're sponsored. So what they've done with Google Sites, though, is they have got these no follow tags on every HTML snippet that you put up. that's not good. Because what's going to end up happening is really you're not giving, when you write an article about somebody or something or some site or some place and you link to it, it won't give that outbound site any link love. Now, maybe Google's worried about a bunch of crackers coming in and just automatically configuring Google site pages and filling them full of links. Maybe that's their plan, and maybe they have something planned down the road where they're going to, through some sort of authentication process, unlock the nofollow on your site. But this is pretty bad. And along with the other stuff that they've done, actually it's called JotSpot. That's the name of the what's been renamed from JotSpot to Google Sites. And essentially, again, all these reviews that have come out today on this Google Sites service, everyone says it sucks. Says it's not that good. It's hard to use. It's not fancy. It's got a lot of little, you know, Google tie-ins, AdSense ads, and all this other stuff. So, love to hear what you think about Google Sites, and if you have put a page up, and if you're seeing this nofollow tag in your links, your outbound links, and let me know what you think about this. So anyway, I'll have a couple articles up on it, link to it, and that way you can get the full story as well. All right, over at spacetoday.net, satellite Derbis delays Atlas V launch. Well, some of that stuff from that spy satellite shoot down that the Navy did last week is still floating, or actually was it earlier this week? Yeah, it was last week. It's still floating around up there, hasn't re-entered atmosphere, so they've had to delay an Atlas V launch of what it's saying is another classified satellite is going up. They've delayed that launch a few days to, I guess, let this space Derbis clear. Over on Ars Technica, and again, one more article about AT&T here, but AT&T is talking serious smack about cable broadband speeds. Apparently what they went out and did was AT&T purchased cable internet service at over 150 homes in the service area of an unnamed competitor. And the unnamed competitor had advertised broadband speeds in that neighborhood of 6 Mbps to 8 megabits per second. And with the AT&T installed, essentially AT&T then went in and installed gear in each home to test the actual speed that they were seeing in those networks. The results were simply, I think, not surprising to me, because we all know that what the cables say and what they deliver are two different things. But where did my mouse go here? Oh, there it is. Actually, battery died. What happened? Oh, no. Oh, no, it's not good. My battery died on my mouse here. So let me make a real quick switch here. Well, I could have edited that out, folks, but I didn't. It just goes to show you that technical difficulties do happen from time to time. The AA batteries in my HP wireless mouse died mid-show. But let's get back into the AT&T discussion here. Anyway, they put these they set up 150 homes with the competitor's service. They put some equipment in to measure the peak speeds, and what they actually saw were peak speeds in the 3 to 4 megabits range with an average closer to 400 kps. That's just amazing. And they found that the peak really happened like at 3 o'clock in the morning when the network was really slow. So here is this company that advertised 68 megs down. AT&T measured peaks at 3 to 4 meg, but actually saw 400k down. This is on cable, all right? This is the performance that they saw. And what they've really done with that is they went back and said, hey, we can beat this. You know, based on the averages that we saw in this particular cable provider's area. Don't know where they did this test. I really don't. But there was a, where they brought this to light was at a presentation at the Merle Lynch Communication Services Forum. It was during a presentation at the forum that AT&T Telecom Operations Group President John Stankey talked some smack about the broadband offerings of his company's cable competitors. Anyway, I have all the slides up that they put up, but it's pretty eye-opening here that you know, based on these averages that they found, that the cable provider was not really delivering what they were supposed to. I really would like to know which cable provider it really is. Okay, article on Wired that is really takes me back a long, long, long way. Now, you would think, here we are, we're in 2008. We're essentially in a leap year, which I forgot about, and today's a leap day. And for those of you that were born on a leap year, born today, happy birthday. But a teenage hacker who is blind is got the crosshairs of the FBI on him in what he is. He's a minor still, but not for long here. He's going to be becoming 18 soon. And this is where the story kind of kicks off, where this kid has been, or young man at this point, has been doing phone freaking. Now you're thinking, what? Like phone freaking, didn't that go out like years ago where people were like using whistles and you guys know about Captain Crunch, right? You guys hear about Captain Crunch and the whistle? I have to share this. And when back in the day, you would get Cracker Jack. You know what Cracker Jack is? Well, you get a toy in that, right? Well, in there was a whistle. And they figured out that that whistle would actually allow people to mimic a tone that the phone system looks for from pay phones, essentially thinking it's getting money. Well, phone freaking's been going on for a long, long time. People have been able to manipulate the phone systems for years. And I really haven't seen a phone freaking article in a long, long time based on this complexity as what Wired has run. So this teenage hacker has been doing some pretty brazen stuff. They have these like conference rooms where people go in and have discussions. And so it's always a challenge. These guys go in and do some social engineering and get people's phones shut off. But one of the things this kid did was actually called in like a hostage crisis type thing, and it was fake. And SWAT like swarmed this house, and this guy was, you know, was basically out in front of his house in the middle of the 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was all done through a phone freaking, and it's from across the country. But this is a 4-page article, well worth the read, well worth your time to go through it. I was fascinated. I really was. I did not realize that the phone freaking underground still was in full swing. Now, if you are a phone freaker of today, I want to hear from you. I want to do an interview. Okay? Don't shut my phone off, please, but let's do an interview and bring you on the show and have a discussion. I'm really fascinated about what's going on in the scene, you know, these many years later from what was originally done. And I guess many of the hacks that were available before are still available, because the phone companies just, you know, it's easier for them to deal with these folks than to spend the millions or maybe even billions to update their phone systems. Those of you that are in the UK, those of you in the UK, here's one that you'll want to pay attention to. British ISPs are handing over your surfing data to former spyware firm. I guess there was 3 large UK ISPs have agreed to a deal with a startup called Form, P-H-O-R-M. The ISPs are going to be sharing all of your surfing data with Form, who would then target advertising to you based on your surfing patterns. This is scary. And if they're all used to be a spyware firm, they don't name the ISPs. And maybe we can find that out for you. If you know who they are, drop me an email. But this is definitely not a good thing for those of you that are, you know, surfing the internet through this particular ISP. All right, folks. Well, we're at the end of the regular content tonight. Made good time here. 53 going on 54 minutes. And, of course, I want to make sure that if you feel that you need to comment on any of the commentary tonight, you do so via the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, or you drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I've got a lot of good, I got one voicemail and some emails to go through, and we'll get through those here in just a second. But as always, I want to thank all of you. I want to thank all of you for being part of the Ohana. For those of you that are new to the show, Ohana means family, and here in Hawaii, family is really, really, well, just like everywhere else, family is really, really important. Family comes first, and I consider you all part of my Ohana, part of my extended family. And again, thank you for listening to the show. I'm so humbled that you take time out of your busy schedules to listen to me, whether it be via commute or wherever it may be. And of course, I want to take, it's here at the end of the month, I want to take the time to thank all of you that have supported our sponsors this month. And if you have not, downloaded a trial of GoToMeeting and you haven't played around with it, please do so. Every little bit helps in, supporting the sponsors. And if you can recommend the software to your boss or someone like that, yeah, help them save some money out there. And again, it's not really, I didn't want to re-pitch you, but I do want to thank the sponsors. It really helps me do what I do. It allows us to have the resources to do much better things for the podcasting space at large. Make sure you check out blueberry.com at blubrry.com, techpodcast.com, and all the other Raw Voice properties, and of course of Geek News Central. So now I'm going to go ahead and quit talking about an advertisement here, and I'm going ahead and roll the first voicemail. And the only voicemail tonight. So let me play that, and then we'll get into email.
Hi, Todd. This is Kevin from Klamath Falls.
Hey, Kevin.
Recently, you talked about the carpool lane technology that analyzes the amount of body fluids in a vehicle. Well, that's pretty amazing. It doesn't surprise me. I saw recently on a TV commercial for a car manufacturer, I want to say it was GM, but I could be wrong, where it monitors your vehicle for a nearby heartbeat in a parking lot situation and alerts you if a bad guy is hiding out by your vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
That's cool.
Also, recently you mentioned about Google opening up shop here in Oregon. I remember reading about this in my local newspaper a few years back and completely forgot about it until you mentioned it. And just for the record, the town that they want to do this in is pronounced the Dalles,
the Dales.
which leads me to this segue. Not that it's a big deal or anything, but I believe that you have mispronounced a few tech names, namely ASUS, which I have always heard it pronounced ASUS.
Oh, ASUS.
And Ars Technica, which I have always heard it called Ars Technica.
Ars Technica.
Like I said, no big deal. I guess it goes back to the old argument. You know, is it tomato or tomato, potato or potato?
Or soda or pop.
And for the podcast subscription idea.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Well, I definitely think you have one of the best podcasts out there. And I really enjoy listening to yours because, like, another listener had mentioned recently, you don't have that annoyance that other podcasts have, like, for example, Buzz Out Loud on CNET, where they insist on this annoying laugh amongst themselves and in general have this air of arrogance that I sense while listening to them. Thank you, Todd, for being real and on a level that we can all relate to and enjoy as well. I guess I wouldn't mind paying a nominal fee to listen, but, you know, raising a family and trying to make ends meet sometimes, I'm not sure, you know, how much I really could afford, but
I think we're all
anyways,
there.
That's about all for now. Keep up the great work. Love the podcast. I think a lot of listeners would have to agree, too, that your podcast is head and shoulders above those, you know, liberal clowns in the Bay Area. Bye.
Oh, well, I'm not going to really, talk smack about any of the other shows. Everyone has their own way of doing, put them together, and they all have their plus and minuses, and there's plenty of room for everyone. I think that's the beauty of this whole new media space, because some people may not like my show, and that's fine. There's plenty of others out there for people to like. And, I recommend that they go over to techpodcast.com and dig around in there and see if they can find one, because those are all a great bunch of family-safe shows, and the guys and gals over there are, they're all, average Joes. There are folks that are, working day jobs and doing this at night. You look at Andy McCaskey and what he does with Slashdot Review. He records that show 5 to 6 days a week and does 2 to 3 hours of work to get that show ready. That is just an absolute amazing amount of dedication. And a lot of other guys over there are doing some great stuff too. But, I know Andy real well. I know what he does for his day job. I know that he's busy and, he's got a social life. He's, involved in the community. And you just look at the dedication it was when he went to CES, he did his regular show at the same time we were doing all this other stuff. I was flabbergasted. I really was. I said, Andy, you're going to kill yourself. I didn't even do my own show because I couldn't do it. Now, so far, the subscription stuff was, all I really was, again, was looking for just some feedback to get a feel. And we're not going to implement it here for sure. But it was just an interesting experiment to see what everyone thought. And I appreciate your feedback on all points. And very appreciative and very humbled, of course. All right, let me move in here to the emails. And let me make sure I'm on the right one here. I got an email from, those of you that are part of, that are Yahoo user, actually, yeah, let's read this first one. I'll go back to this one from Holger. Got an email from Frank. Those of you that are Yahoo users, you're not going to like this from Frank. He says, a couple of comments. Yahoo. I do not like Yahoo. Never have. I would not use their email on a bet. However, I am a member of the Yahoo hosted group, which I choose to receive via email. I do not get any advertising in the emails, and that really intrigued me here. He goes on to say, it's possible to turn the advertising off in Yahoo preferences. The toggle is on by default and buried really deep. But it's there. When Yahoo started with the ads in the emails, a group administrator, sent a message to the list telling us how to turn it off. He said, he goes on here, says, for the first time since I discovered your show, I got multiple copies of your show notes, three of them, in fact. The Opera email client sent them 413, 420, and 424. Eastern. sorry, Frank, and everyone else. They got four copies of the doggone thing. But thanks for your comments on Yahoo, and I'm going to have to dig around and find out where exactly that switch is, because it drives me crazy. I got an email from Holger. Say, hey, Todd, thought I'd let you know what podcast I listen to for the Geek Posse. The first one I listen to is the Java Posse. It's at Java P-O. It's actually Java Posse. It's a once a week or sometimes longer podcast on what's happening with the Java programming language. The hosts are professional programmers from Sun, Google, and at one point Apple. It's the best, if not the only podcast on Java. The second one is Tell Those Guys About Tech Podcast. Tell them to come over and join a Holger. The second one is Software Engineering Radio, based out of Germany, but it's in English. These guys talk about such topics as enterprise architecture, SOA, building fault-tolerant systems, embedded systems, and anything else to do with software architecture at www.setacradio.net. He says the third podcast is the SOA Report with David Lyncham, who talks about service-oriented architecture. This has got to be the shortest podcast I listened to at 15 minutes. The next one is Naked Science Scientist, which is a science show out of the UK. I heard about that. That's pretty good. This is a radio show converted to a podcast and has an interesting topics from the world of science. He says the second last one is Mr. Powers Geekazine, which gives a different perspective to tech news. Finally, an excellent show called Geek News. Oh, geez. Thanks, Holger. Appreciate it. Thanks for those shows, and we'll add those. We're going to get those added to a Google spreadsheet. And then what I'm going to be doing is sharing that spreadsheet to the world, and people are going to be able to add their links to the Google spreadsheet on shows that they think are cool. So it'll be fun to do that. Got an email from, oh my goodness. Oh, she actually told me how to pronounce it. She says it's Shaskia. Okay. I probably just blew that anyway. Hey, Todd, I just noticed above post. Comcast paid people to take up seats during the FCC meeting in Boston. And with that, took away seats from people who were actually interested in the subject to take part in the meeting. To top it off, Comcast even admitted it. And link to that. She says, P.S., regarding paying for the podcast, I know that you are done with your survey, but still wanted to chime in quick. I'm going to leave that for her and I to know about. Sorry about that. I just started into it, and I led you guys down that road. But thank you so much for your email, Saskia. I hope I pronounced that right. I probably didn't. Just go ahead and hit me. All right, moving on here. I got an email from Shash. He says, Hey, Todd, I'm a long-time listener to the show, but first time to send an email. Really enjoy your show and your coverage of news. Also like the personal touch you add to the show, discussing the home from As You Call It. My question to you is the following. I am starting to build an audiobook store in the Persian language, similar to Audible in the U.S. Of course, it will have a limited content in the beginning, but it will hopefully grow over time. I enjoy many of the podcasts you have at Blueberry and would like to know if a similar backend is helpful in my case. If it would work, can you share with me what kind of backend system you use for Blueberry? Is it an open CMS or custom build? Obviously, one different would be that my content is paid for while Blueberry is thankfully free. I would understand if you didn't want to share this information as you want to keep it secret. Absolutely not. The backend that drives Blueberry is actually the raw voice generator. It was built by my company. It's a commercial product. You can find out about that by going to rawvoice.com, looking for the products link, and then look at for raw voice generator. Be more than happy to show you the back end. We have white label solutions available for people. So if you're looking, looks like you got a cool idea there. And the system would be absolutely perfect for what you wanted to do. So we'd be more than happy to help you out with that. Get an email from William. He said, "Hey, Todd, I recently got my Zune and started listening to your podcast. I was wondering, are you a gamer? I currently have a Sony PS2, and I'm wanting to get a new system, but I don't know which to get. Most of them cost a lot of money and really want to do the research. I have looked up each of them and just wanted to know what your opinion was. Also, are there any other tech gadgets you would recommend for the young adult?" Well, I think the so far as the gaming, sorry, I'm not a gamer. I have a tendency to be very compulsive. So I know that if I became a gamer, that I'd be sucked in, you know, like World of Warcraft or something like that. It's just, you know, I can see it. I want to play. And it would not be good. So it's just, it's better for me and what free time I have to not do that. If I got into playing games, it wouldn't be good. But so far as other gadgets, you know, I don't always go out. I guess, you know, as a young adult, you're going to have limited cash flow. So make sure that you research the stuff that you're going to buy smartly. You know, really think about what you're going to use the gadget for. You know, there's been many times I bought gadgets and later I'm like, oh, why did I buy that? I didn't even use it. So while stuff looks cool and hip to have, really think about the utilization. Something that's going to make you more productive. It's going to be smart for school. Something that will be, you know, something that'll be useful. I don't really have any gadgets to recommend for a young adult. But I would say if you're thinking about something, if you had your eye on something, just really think about whether or not it'll be more productive. And I'll be honest with you. I used to have, I bought a Palm initially when Palms first came out. And I used to use a Franklin Day Planner as my appointment book. And I'd been writing in that for years. And when I got my Palm, I continued to use my Franklin Day Planner and never used the Palm. And so today I'm kind of like half and half. I'm still kind of a list guy. I have, you know, a yellow pad with a list of stuff I have to do in meetings and reminders. And I just work better that way. And I do stuff within the computer on task and working in project. Microsoft Project as well. I'm a project ninja, but no, really don't have any other suggestions. Sorry. Maybe some of the other listeners would, and if they'd like to chime in, please do. Moving on here, I got an email from Christiane. He says, "Hey, it's the same situation in regard to TV series as your Middle Eastern caller, and I'm in Sweden for crying out loud. Just because a season of a particular show hasn't been aired here yet, it isn't for sale anywhere. Knowing a couple of my favorites are way ahead from what we've seen and that some shows haven't aired here yet drives me up the wall. I've been to the Swedish web shops and tried to purchase season DVDs of shows, but it hasn't aired here. It simply isn't available. No wonder people are driven to torrenting, which I haven't done for my TV stuff yet. Best regards, Christian." You know what? I understand. And it's frustrating, yeah, for sure. But it's because it's all about the market share, my friend. They want you to watch it on TV. They want you to see the commercials. They want to have the distribution rights. That's where they make their money. So I understand why they want to do it. Got an email from James. He said, hey, catching up on some podcasts, I heard you speak about the SkyDrive increasing to 5 gigs. I thought I would comment on this. Thanks, because I don't know anything about it. He said, first, wow, 5 gigabytes. Thanks, Microsoft. Hope that didn't cut into your $50 billion in cash. Second, SkyDrive is more or less useless when compared to other products out there. About the only thing it's truly useful for is sharing files from a public folder. So if you want to link some images or videos to a blog, send a file to a friend, and so on, just upload the file to a shared folder where you have them set up as a users, then send them link. I think, however, I can't check right now because Login Live Microsoft Passport Service is down. The reasons even more useless are as follows. 5 gig is not enough. 500 megabyte, 50 megabit file upload limit. I have PowerPoint files much longer than that. You cannot map a drive or web dab to SkyDrive folders. You must use their web interface. The name SkyDrive? Come on, Microsoft. That's creative at this point. That's scary. Let me read that again. The name SkyDrive? Come on, Microsoft. You're that creative at this point. And if so, that's scary. Another five. Do not link interface or join your SkyDrive account with Office Live folders, or if it does, I can't do it. Service like AdDrive are offering 50 gigabytes and 2 gigabyte file limits should embarrass Microsoft at this point. So if you need a public place to store images, a short video, podcast file, then it's probably worth the 5 minutes signing up. If you think you're going to use it for true online backup, online file access, etc., you'd be better off looking somewhere else. I would say that Microsoft is likely to grow the service as they try to keep up with the Joneses, in other words, Google. So getting in early, even if you don't use it, might not be a bad idea. And I'm not going to say James's last name, but in the bottom, he's a Microsoft Certified Small Business Specialist. He's a Microsoft Certified Professional. I love it. I really, really do. Thanks, James. Hey, Todd, for your information, Blueberry is listed on Microsoft's podcasting tutorial. I saw that, Sam. Thanks for that. And that was a nice mention of them. Don't know if it's going to get me any links because I didn't even know they had a podcasting tutorial until you told me. So I have a link up to that in the show notes. Got an email from Frankie says, it's also about the Comcast deal. And I got an email from Wendy, and she's another female listener. She's in Chico, and she said she was offended by GoDaddy's use of women's chest to sell their products. And she said, I'll never make a purchase from them, nor would I recommend them to people whose computers I work on. How would you feel if they use large, bicepted, thin-waisted, hardly dressed men? Care to buy some underwear? And she gives me a link. thanks, Wendy. And I did forward the comment from the last show over to corporate and letting them know that the ladies are not happy with some of the advertising. So y'all keep it up. Keep it coming. And y'all have been great. Thanks for all the feedback. And thanks for being part of the Ohana here. And y'all have a great weekend. Please, please, please be safe. And I know some of you are still getting some nasty weather, and I'm feeling for you, but I'm sitting here. It's 75 degrees, and I'm short in a T-shirt with no socks on, and I'm windows are open and have a nice tropical breeze. So when you come out to Hawaii, give me a call. I'll buy you a nice tropical drink of your choice, and we can sit around and enjoy the beach. But everyone take care. Have a great, great weekend again. We'll see you on Tuesday. Till next time. Aloha.